Welcome to MikeyPod 119. Today, I'll be talking with Isa Chandra Moskowitz, vegan chef and co-author of the Veganomicon cookbook. But first, here's a Brooklyn band. I don't know why I'm falling in love with so many Brooklyn bands. Perhaps it's because my heart belongs to Brooklyn and I long to go back there one day. Or perhaps they just have really good bands coming out right now. This is Yaysayer with 2080. We'll be right back. Joining me on the phone is Isa Chandra Moskowitz from the Post Punk Kitchen, as well as a co-author of Veganomicon, the ultimate vegan cookbook. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Thanks for coming on. I don't know. Should we jump right in? Well, we should talk a little bit about who you are. I was going to jump right into the s'mores because I'm eager to find out, but we'll save them. That's foreshadowing.
Okay.
So,
if you hear me chewing, it's a s'more.
Okay, I love it. There'll be this whole like tension building up throughout the show.
What could it possibly be?
What is she talking about? So you've written this cookbook with Terry Hope Romero, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
And then you guys also have a public access vegan cooking show. Is it still going on? I couldn't quite tell.
We pretend that it is, but it's not.
We say,
we're about to film new episodes, but we never do.
Oh, I gotcha. So is it really on public access, or is it something that you're putting up? Because I saw it on Google Video.
Yeah, we put up the episodes on Google and YouTube, but it was on public access.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Cool. So the basic vegan questions, how long have you been vegan?
I went vegan when I was 16, and I was vegan for maybe 5 or so years, and then I wasn't for a little bit through my mid-20s.
Uh-huh.
I was vegetarian, and then I went back to being vegan in around 2001.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't like saying I've been vegan 6 years because that's not exactly like I've been cooking vegan for about 20 years.
Okay. Cool. So that's all that time. If you've been, I mean, your recipes are so like adventurous, I want to say. I don't know that that's the best word, but I guess from a new vegan, it seems like, oh my God, where did they come up with all of this? But have you been experimenting all that time, or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the second time around, I really wanted to be satisfied with what I was eating, and I think before that I had been cooking, but not as much, and not being as adventurous, and just depending too much on like, you know, grocery food, and it was just not satisfying to me. And I think with a lot of people, when they stop being vegan, they probably aren't satisfied with what they're eating. So part of the reason I started cooking so much was I really wanted to be vegan. That really was where my ethics were at, and I kept feeling like, oh, well, why can't I do this? Why did I stop being vegan? And then it was just like, you know what? Just make the food you like, try and be happy with what you're eating, and then you can be vegan. I mean, when it comes down to it, I probably still would be vegan if I wasn't that happy with what I was eating, just because it's so, just because of what animals go through.
Right.
So, but the good food doesn't hurt.
Do you have any favorite restaurants in New York? I'm curious.
I don't know about favorites. You know what I really liked that I tried the other day was Four Course Vegan. Have you heard of it?
No.
So it's not a restaurant. It's this guy's loft, and it's what the name implies. It's four courses. And you have to make reservations a couple of weeks in advance, but look in the website. It's just the number four, coursevegan.com,
okay.
and you can make reservations in advance. That's been my favorite thing. And I just tried it last week.
I had
always heard of it, but, he was doing basically what vegans should be doing, using fresh ingredients, not using, fake cheese and fake meat and fake this and fake that, using stuff that, like, he made a cashew ravioli, and just making simple foods but really making them stellar. So he was, like, a lentil salad with these sweet roast beets and what else did I have? Anyway, it was all really good. So that was my best New York culinary experience, and I've lived here all my life, so.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's cool. I just looked at the website and bookmarked it. That looks really good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, all right, I'm all over. Okay, I can't wait anymore. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the other restaurant I like, which everybody likes, is Candle, but it's really expensive. So.
It is so expensive, but I had stumbled on it the other day. I was on my way to Gobo and then decided to go someplace else, and it was so good, but it's so
good.
Expensive.
Yeah, but so expensive, and if something's off, you're like, holy, I just paid $22 for something that wasn't perfect. So,
yeah
I mean, I always get the same things when I go there.
Just so
but,
you know,
Yeah, kind of. And I find, like, the thing that they always do too much of is sage. If there's sage in something, I won't get it. Because the couple of times I have, it's been, like, just so much that it tastes chemically. But whatever. Anyway, that's a good place.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about my s'more?
Yeah, tell me about the s'more.
Well, it's... I just, when we were going to do the interview, I was like, you need a couple minutes to eat. And I took a bite of it right before we were going to start. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to put this down. But she's not paying me. It's Sweet and Sour S'mores. And it's this girl, Sarah Son, in Queens. And she just started selling her stuff in Whole Foods. And she just, I mean, she worked her ass off, I guess, to get a vegan marshmallow.
So she developed the vegan marshmallow herself?
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of years ago there was the controversy with the vegan gelatin not really being vegan but being made from fish.
Oh, I hadn't heard about all that.
Yeah, so it was this company called Eames that, I've been using their gelatin for years, since I was a kid, to make, marshmallows or whatever else, jello. But it turns out that it was made out of fish. I don't know exactly what part of fish, but anyway, so the people that owned the company just virtually disappeared, and then vegans had no more marshmallows. But she, you know, from her kitchen developed this awesome vegan marshmallow recipe, and now these s'mores, which are so good, they're like $5 though. So, they're handmade, and I know she puts a lot of work into it, so I would say they're worth it.
Yeah,
$5.
Well, yeah. They sound like they're worth it too, just that you're so into them.
Yeah.
One of the things about the book that really comes through in the recipes and sort of the commentary in between, you mentioned in the intro as well about your philosophy. That's sort of like what you said, that your goal is to prove that vegan food doesn't have to be repetitive, difficult, or inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I think right around when I started writing my first cookbook, Vegan with a Vengeance, that was like, I started it in maybe 2003, and every cookbook had the same exact recipes over and over again, and it was just like, I mean, yeah, there's, you know, you can do your version of hummus and your version of scrambled tofu, which I do too, but it just seemed like they weren't really getting past any of that. Uh-huh. And then also there was the excessive use of, you know, here's a lasagna, and it's just like an omnivore lasagna, except it's got soy cheese on it, and big meat crumbles in it, and it was just ridiculous. Like, let's start using vegetables. Vegans just didn't seem to be using vegetables. That was, I think, a big reason why I started developing some recipes.
Yeah.
And it started, like, with Vegan with a Vengeance, I don't think I had it totally down yet. Like, I feel like our philosophy came together in Veganomicon. And we just started using, like, beans and nuts and grains and, you know, hardly any tofu or, you know, which I love. I absolutely love tofu and tempeh and seitan. But we tried to minimize that and make it so that if you have a supermarket nearby, you can make this. So that was just in keeping it accessible. And then repetitive, just, you know, let's branch out. There's all these different cultures we can be pulling from that eat vegetarian anyway.
One of the things from the book that I sort of get is like this excitement, kind of, because really when I was thinking about veganism, it was totally about giving things up. Like, I'm going to give up eating dairy now, and oh, I can't have cheese anymore. And I think that's where a lot of those recipes stem from that you're talking about, that are like the lasagna with the fake meat and the fake cheese and everything. But once I started reading your book and like exploring different restaurants in New York, suddenly it was really exciting. And there are new things to try that don't have anything to do with what I used to eat. So in a way, it feels like there's a whole new sort of, I don't know if community is the right word.
Yeah, I think that's also a big part of it, is that people are always so into, like, we've always done this, this is tradition. But, you know, when you said new history, it is like we are making history right now. And we wrote about it a little bit in the intro. Like, 200 years ago, food was completely different from what it is now. Like, we'll think of Italian food and we'll think pizza. But that's not really what Italian food is. We'll think tomato sauce, but tomatoes weren't even in Italy 200 years ago. So, you know, we think Irish food, we think potatoes, and they got those potatoes from South America. So it's not really, it's a lot of times people argue, you know, we can't do this. This is tradition. But really, the tradition we're talking about really only goes back maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years. So we're creating new traditions, and food is moving forward, and I think vegan food really does that. We're creating history right now, and it doesn't. Tradition is really just bullshit as far as like a reason to keep doing something. And also, people are always like, "Oh well, you know, why call it moussaka when it's not moussaka, because regular moussaka has cheese on it and it has meat in it. But it's like when you go back in history, as far as like the names of things go, like meat used to just mean food, and at one point it meant nuts. So right. You can change what things are. Like you can change what a moussaka is. You can probably even change what a hamburger is. Maybe in 100 years, a hamburger will be like, oh, remember when hamburgers used to have meat? We don't know.
Oh, let me throw this question at you that one of my online friends asked me. Are you familiar with Twitter at all?
A little bit. I have a friend that keeps going, you have to start Twittering. So
yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, but it's fun too. So yeah. Someone had Twittered yesterday that she was making the tomato soup from Veganomicon.
Mm-hmm.
So I Twittered, I'm interviewing Issa tomorrow. Do you have any questions for her? And here's what she said, and this is verbatim her Twitter.
Uh-huh.
She said, yeah, why the hell do most of the recipes take so fucking long to make? It's marketed to new vegans, but it's so much work. So I wonder if, because I've only made a couple things, the snobby joes,
uh-huh.
Which my roommate actually made, and I made the pasta with white beans and tomatoes and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I don't feel those took exceedingly long to make, but...
Yeah, well, we have an icon. Here's the thing when writing cookbooks is that you can't please everybody.
Right.
At the same time, you want to please as many people as possible. So what we did is we have these icons throughout the book which tell you, like, this recipe is 45 minutes or under, this recipe is wheat-free, this recipe is soy-free. You know, we try to make it so very user-friendly. I don't know, you know, if she's using, like... If she's using the icons, and she'll see what recipes take the short amount of time. As far as that tomato soup, that's not a complicated soup. It's like stuff has to cook. Sorry, but rice has to cook. So if rice takes 45 minutes to cook, that's how long the recipe is going to take.
Right.
We are writing recipes. We're not, you know, making GMO rice that cooks in 10 minutes. So food cooks as, you know, fast as it cooks. And it's not like... The recipes aren't cumbersome recipes. It's just, and it's with anything. Even if this was an omnivore recipe with rice in it, the rice would take the same amount to cook.
One of the things that I was, like, when I was making the pasta, I can't remember the name of the recipe. It's you refer to it as pasta fazool as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I found myself chopping, like, dicing those 2 pounds of tomatoes. And uh-huh. It was taking a while, partly because I'm just not a very good cook and not experienced.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, well, this is sort of worth the trade-off of not using canned tomatoes.
Yeah, the thing is, as you cook, the faster you get. Like my mom, I had no idea that it took somebody a half an hour to chop an onion until I saw my mom chopping an onion. Like it takes me a minute to chop an onion. So, but in Veganomicon, we did take into account that not everybody's as fast as us, even though still sometimes maybe a recipe says 45 minutes, it takes us a half an hour, but it takes somebody else an hour and a half. You know, we did take into consideration, we paced it for the moderately paced cook.
I got you.
So yeah, like you'll get faster at chopping. You'll get faster as you cook more. That's the other thing is that a lot of people start cooking when they become vegan. So they look at it as, oh, it used to be so easy to cook before. But when they think about it, they never really cooked that much before. Like, just work on your knife skills. There are so many videos online that teach you about knife skills.
Oh, good
and
idea.
And maybe Terry and I will make one someday. But look up, like, Google garlic knife skills. Like, you'll see why it takes 20 seconds to mince garlic for us. Or, you know, the fastest way to do an onion. Or just get the basics down for carrots, onions, peppers, the things that you use all the time. And yeah, you'll get faster. It becomes a lot more pleasurable as you become more of an experienced cook. And after a while, you also have to stop reading the recipe so it takes faster. Like if you make that pasta recipe maybe 2 more times, you won't need to actually look at the directions anymore.
Yeah, and that was sort of your goal with a lot of these recipes too, right?
Yes, definitely, because I don't ever, not ever, when I bake, I need to look at the recipe, but I rarely use an actual recipe, so it gets much faster when you just get in there, know what you have to do, and do it.
So anyway, we're kind of running out of time, so I should kind of wrap it up. I love it. What I was gonna try to figure out some way to be like, okay, now say something really like sickly sweet.
Well, something sweet I can say is that I really think people should be spending more time and donating more money to farm sanctuaries and just actually like. Getting to know these animals that we're fighting for And two farm sanctuaries I want to mention are Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary, upstate New York, Woodstock. And I think their website is woodstockfas.org, but I'm not sure if you could double check it. And then also Patrice Jones runs a chicken sanctuary in Maryland, and that's bravebirds.org. And just visit these sanctuaries, check out how these animals are being treated, and, you know, hear some of their stories. The thing that is important to remember for people that want to go vegan is that I feel like, oh, I can't give this up, I can't do that. Like, your taste buds do catch up with your ethics eventually. So, you know, give yourself some time. Don't like, maybe today right now you're craving a hamburger or thinking about not eating hamburgers. But give yourself some time, because you'll stop. And as with quitting anything, it's usually worth it. The rewards are worth it. So, yay, go vegan.
Wee!
Look at all the fun you'll have bitching about other vegans.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you for inviting me on.
The front line is there in your eyes. Don't do all of the things you despise, but all you can change it. Who are we to demand all those lives? Why should creatures pay our price? 'Cause the blinkers are there on our eyes, and yet we seem so nice to the man who kills with no need. If we realize our body feeds, oh yes, we would change it. I'm not some meat crazy, it's just a meat baby.
What's the meat?
I'm not some meat crazy, it's just a meat baby.
What's the meat?
So the business with hold of the cards, and they think they're so healthy. And their ploy is to fatten the calves just to feed all the wealthy. And you wonder why the hell there are wars, when in truth all the answers are yours. But of course you can change it. I'm not some meat crazy, it's just a meat baby.
What's the meat?
I'm not some meat crazy, it's just a meat baby.
What's the
what I made, what I made.